B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We're going to start on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis on the last line. Says the Gemara, Omar b'Acha bar Abba Omar b'Yochanan. Minayin l'shinui begodim min ha-Torah. Is there any reference in the Torah to the concept that changing clothes has anything to do with honoring an occasion? Says the Gemara, yes, shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, u'poshat es begodov, v'lovash begodim achirim. It says that when the Kohanim, they used to take off the ashes from the Mizbeach, then they would, when they would take out the ashes, they would change into clothes that were that little bit less valuable, that little bit less choshuv, in order that the work, that the clothes that they were doing, the more dirty work, we should call it, is not going to be the same clothes that they would wear when they were doing the more respectable type of work. The Torah was teaching us appropriate and proper conduct. The clothes that a chef is wearing when cooking the food for his master, he should not be wearing those same clothes when he's coming in to pour the cup for his master. So too, when they were taking out the ashes, which was a work that was make the clothes dirty, and it was a work that was a little bit less prestigious than the rest of the work they were doing in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore they would take off their clothes, the clothes they were wearing in the Beis HaMikdash, and wear other clothes. And obviously this is brought in the Gemara in context that we're learning here, that we know that there's a concept of honoring Shabbos by wearing Shabbos clothes. And we also saw in the Gemara previously on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that when Rus went to meet Boaz, she was wearing Shabbos clothes. There's a concept of clothes that honor an occasion. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abchia Bar Abba Omer Ab Yechanon. Gennai hu le Talmud Chochem, it's a disgrace for a Talmud Chochem, sheyetze, that he should go out, b'min olim hamatuloim l'shuk, that he should go out with patched shoes when going out to the marketplace. V'hor b'acha bar chanino nofik. The Gemara says that we know that Rav Acha bar chanino did go out with shoes that were patched. Omer Rav Acha b'reid Rav Nachman, b'tlai al gabetlai. If it's just a single patch, it can pass. But if it's one patch on top of another patch, that's already a disgrace for Talmidei Chachomim to go out like that and should be avoided. Continues the Gemara. V'omer Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Rav Yechanon. Kol Talmud Chochem shenimtza revav al bigdoi. Any Talmud Chochem that has a grease stain on his clothes, chayev misa, he's liable for misa. He's deserving a punishment of death. And Rashi says shetzorich li es choshuv v'hogun nichvoy toirosoi. A Talmud Chochem has to honor and respect the Torah within him, and if he doesn't, then that's a very serious avera. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk says, "Kol mesanai ohavu moves." All those who hate me love death. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. Says the Gemara, "Al tikri mesanai." Don't read it that those that are going to head to death are those that hate me. Elo masni'ai, those who cause hatred towards me. That means they cause other people to hate me. And that means in this context that when people see Talmidei Chachomim that are dressed inappropriately, then those other people will say, woe to those who are learning Torah, what a disgrace, they're repulsive, and therefore people will repel and will not want to come to Torah, and that's called Masni'ai. Ravina Omar, Ravina says that what Talmud Chochem, what stain does a Talmud Chochem have to have on his clothes to be Chayav Misa? It's not Revav, which is a grease mark, grease stain, rather Ravina Omar, Revad Itmar. Don't say Revav, say Revad, and Revad, Rashi says, is Shechva Zera. V'loy pligi, and they're not arguing ha beglima ha belavusha. On an outer cloak, a grease stain is very repulsive and inappropriate. But on his shirt or something he's wearing underneath his cloak, the grease stain is not that repulsive and is not that seen. And even if somebody's going to see a grease stain there, they'll just assume that they'll find some excuse for it. It's not the end of the world. However, when seeing ravad, seeing a stain of shechva zera, that's something that's repulsive even to an undershirt, and therefore a Talmud Chochem who goes out like that is chayev misa. Continues the Gemara. Va'omer b'chia bar Abba omer b'yechanon. Ma'idich siv, how do you explain what it says in the Pasuk? Ka'ashaholach avdi Yeshayahu orim v'yochif. That my servant Yeshayahu, he was going out orim, which is literally translated as naked, v'yochif, and barefoot. Says the Gemara, Orum means bebegodim bluim. He went out with worn out clothes, and therefore the posuk calls it Orum. V'yochif, he went out barefoot, bemin olim hamatuloim, with patched shoes, and that's also disrespectful, and it's considered yochif, barefoot. Continues the Gemara, Tnan hosam. We learned in a Mishnah, Revav al hamardea. A mardea is a saddle cloth. And the revav is, as we saw, is a grease mark. Now, we know that when something is tummy and you want to toivel it in a mikveh, then it's not allowed to be any chatzitza, any separation between the item being toiveled and the water. If there's stained grease marks on it, then it could be that it's a chatzitza. One of the rules of chatzitza is that it's only chaitzitz, it's only considered a separation if the person values it as if it bothers him. A little stain that doesn't bother a person is not considered a chatzitza. If it bothers the person and he doesn't want the stain there, he'll do everything he can to remove the stain, then that stain is a chatzitza. So the Mishnah says, revav ala mardea, if there's a grease mark on a mardas, on a saddle cloth, chaitzet, it's chaitzet, it's chaitzet because a person is makbid, it bothers a person, it should be there. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Ad ki isar ho'italki, that's providing that it's at least the size of an isar, an Italian isar, which is the name of a coin. V'al ha'begodim, till now we were discussing saddle cloths. What's with begodim? Says the Mishnah, mitzad echod einoi chaitzitz. If the grease mark is only there on one side of the cloth, of the garment, and has not penetrated right through to the other side of the garment, then it's not chaitzitz. Mishneit stodim, if however the grease mark is such that it's penetrated right through the garment, right through the material, chaitzitz, it's considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, Rabban Yehuda Oymer Mishum Rabbi Shmoel, af mitzad echot chaitzitz, the Tanakhama say that regarding begodim, one side is not a chatzitza, if it's on both sides, it's a chatzitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, even on one side, it's considered a chatzitza. Bo minei Reb Shimon ben Lakish mi Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina was asked as follows. Mardas, and we just saw now, according to Rabbi Shmoel, a garment is a stain, a revav, a grease mark on a beged, on a garment, is called a chatzitza. It bothers the person even if it's just on one side. But maybe that's only if it's a cloth, if it's a garment. What happens if it's on the mardas, if it's on the saddle cloth? Are we going to say that people are equally makbid, and therefore even if there's a revav on just one side of the mardas, it's also going to be a chatzitza? Or do we say no, the mardas, people are less makbid about it, and therefore it's only called a chatzitza if it penetrates right through? Mardas mitzad echod, oy mishneit stodim. What's the halacha? Is a mardas also chaitzitz if it's just one side like a beged, or is it only chaitzitz if it's on two sides? Omer le, Rav Chanina answered to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Zu lo shamati, I didn't hear the exact answer to this exact question, Ki yetzibo shamati, I heard something else similar, and from what I did hear we could deduce what the halach is going to be with your question. Ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Oymer shel banoin, mitzad echod, v'shel bur mishnei tzodim. That if there's a garment of banoim, then for banoim, then it's even on one side, it's already called a chatzitza, because the banoim, we'll soon see who they are makbid, it bothers them even if it's on one side. But shel bur, but for the bur, for the ignorant people, and the lower category of people, for them, it doesn't bother them so much, and they're much more coarse type of lifestyle, and therefore it will only be a chatzitza if it's penetrated right through the material. This bur is considered an amoretz, and since for a bur, it's not called a chatzitza unless it penetrates right through to the other side, then a mardas, a saddle cloth, is not going to be more valuable than the clothes of an amoretz, and therefore it's only going to be a chatzitza if the grease mark has gone straight through to the other side. Asks the Gemara, my banoim, who are these banoim, that the clothes of the banoim are makbid, it bothers them even if the grease mark is just on one side. Omer b'yechnon, b'yechnon says, Eilu talmidei chachomim, these are talmidei chachomim, sha'iskim b'binyonu shel oilom, they are called banoim because they are building the world. Who's building the world? B'binyonu shel oilom kol yameim, who's busy building the world their whole lives? Talmidei chachomim. Talmidei Chachomim, as we saw before, they have to walk around very respectably. Therefore, grease mark, even if it has not penetrated right through the garment, is called a chatzitza. However, for the Amei Haaretz, they don't care, and therefore it's only a chatzitza if it penetrated right through to the other side. Va'omer Rabbi Yechanon, another quote from Rabbi Yechanon regarding Talmidei Chachomim. Eizehu Talmud Chacham shemachzirin lo aveda betvias ayin. There's a certain category of Talmidei Chachomim that we know that we can trust them, that if they just visually recognize a lost item as being theirs, even though they cannot give us exact proof, exact simonim, we trust their visual recognition. But for that, you need to be a Talmud Chacham. The question is, how much, like what will tell us that this person is in that category? Says Rabbi Yechanon, Zeh HaMakbid, this is a Talmud Chacham who's very particular in the way he looks, and when he wears his clothes inside out, then the hems, the seams will bother him, and he'll turn it round. So somebody who's gone eye for beauty to that extent, we can trust his, he is called that Talmud Chacham, and we can trust his visual recognition for identifying an Aveda. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Yechanon, Eizehu Talmud Chacham shememanin oisei parnas ala tzibur. What is the level, what type of Talmud Chacham can we appoint to be a leader on a community? If one can ask him a halachic question anywhere, and he'll have the answer. And even in a Maseches Kalo, which is a Maseches which is not learned so often, and he knows the whole Shas, but often people who know Shas don't know Maseches Kalo. This person knows the whole Shas, including Maseches Kalo. He's somebody that's appropriate to be appointed to be a leader on the community. Va'omer Rabbi Yechanon, Eizehu Talmud Chacham shebnei iroi metzuvin la'asos le'melachtoi. What type of Talmud Chacham is one that cannot be expected to do his own work, at least the minimum that he needs to survive, to sustain himself, and the people of the town, the city, are required to do the work for him? Somebody who abandons his own desires, his own needs, in order to serve the desires of Hashem, that type of person who is abandoning his own needs, we expect the town to fill that need. But that's only true to the point of sustenance, food, etc., whatever's included in basic survival. But luxuries, obviously, the town do not need to work and make sure that he has extra luxuries. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Yechanon, Eizehu Talmud Chacham, what's called a Talmud Chacham, period. What is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Kol shasher lin oisei alocha b'chol mokim v'oimra, a person that one can ask a question anywhere and he will have the answers. L'may nafgimina, what ramifications is there? What's the difference if he's called a Talmud Chacham or not called a Talmud Chacham? Says the Gemara, Limnuya Parnus ala Tzibur, you want to know if one can appoint him to be a leader on a community. Ibechodem Masechta, if he only knows one Masechta. And Rashi says here that it doesn't mean that he only knows one Masechta. Obviously, he's learned the whole of Shas. Somebody who hasn't learned Shas cannot be appointed for anything. He's learned the whole Shas, but he only knows how to answer questions fluently in the one Masechta that he's learning at the moment. Then Ba'asri, then he can be appointed in his place. If he can answer questions anywhere that you ask him, then Beresh Masivta, then he can be appointed as the head of an academy, he can be a Rosh Hashiva. Continues the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Lokish Omar, Eilu Kelim Ha'ulayrin Ha'boin Mimedinas Hayom. This is now a second explanation in the Banoim. We said before that Banoim, they are very particular with their clothes, and therefore stain, even just on the outside of their clothes that does not penetrate right through the cloth, is called a chatzitza. It bothers them. What's Banoim? The first explanation Rabbi Yochanan said is talking about Talmidei Chachomim, the builders of the world. Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, he says a different explanation. These Banoim, these are certain particular type of garments that ha'oilairin. These are garments that the bathhouse attendants, they used to hold these garments, and when very prestigious and prominent people would come out of the baths, they would give these prestigious and very important clothes to these special people. And haboyim medina sayom, this material comes from abroad, from the other side of the ocean. And these clothes, people are very, very makbid with, they're very particular with, that they should not have a stain on, even on one side. Lememra de chivraninu? So are you suggesting that these clothes are white? These ulairin clothes are white, and that's why every little stain, every grease mark is going to make such a big difference to them. V'ha'omer luhu Rabbi Yanai lebonov. Did Rabbi Yanai not say to his children, Bonai, my children, Al tikburuni, when you bury me, do not bury me, Loi bekelim levonim, not in white shrouds, Veloi bekelim shchorim, and not in black shrouds, Levonim, why not in white shrouds? Shemoloi ezke, maybe I will not have the merit of being in Gan Eden, and if you're not in Gan Eden, everybody else in Gehenim is all black, and if I'm going to go there in white clothes, then ve'eya kechosn bein avelim, I'm going to be compared to a bridegroom amongst mourners, and that feels very odd. Shchorim, I don't want you to dress me with shrouds of black. Shemo ezke, maybe I'll be in Gan Eden. Ve'eya k'ovel bein achasanim, then I will be like an oval, like a mourner amongst the chasanim. Elo, I want you to bury me, says Rabbi Yanai, bekelim ha'oilairin haboin m'medinas hayom, those type of clothes that the bathhouse attendants were used to offering to the rich people, to the special people, those I want you to bury me in. So you see clearly that they're not white. Alma sumkininu. So we see that these clothes are red, colored or red, but they're not white. So how can you say that people are makbid with every little stain, even a revav, is called a chatzitza, even just on one side, if they're not even white clothes? Says the Gemara, Loikasha, ha beglimi ha belavushi. These garments, that are, these very expensive materials, there are two of them. There are two types. There are the levushi, which are the undergarments, and those are white. And then you've got the cloaks, the glimi, and those are the coloured ones, if they're red or otherwise coloured. Rav Yanai was saying, I want you to bury me in clothes that are coloured like those glimi clothes are. But when we said before that the oilirin, those are the materials that people are very, very bothered about, even with a smaller stain, they are the white oilirin, and those are the ones, the oilirin of the undergarments. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer Mekaplin V'chulu. So we saw in the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph said as follows. Rabbi Shmuel says, Mekaplin Es HaKelim, one is allowed to fold one's garments, umatzin es hamitois miyoyim hakipurim leShabbos. Rabbi Shmuel maintains that Shabbos is a more severe type of day, type of yontov. It's more kodosh, not yontov, it's a Shabbos. It's more than even Yom Kippur, and therefore one is allowed to prepare on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. V'chel v'Shabbos kreivim biyoyim hakipurim, and since Shabbos is of a higher level of kedusha, therefore the korbonis of Shabbos are allowed to be offered onto the Mizbeach on Motzah Shabbos, even if Motzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur. But if Yom Kippur was on Erev Shabbos, was on Friday, then the fats of the Korbonis of Yom Kippur are not allowed to be offered up on Motzi Yom Kippur, which is Friday night, because Shabbos is a more chomor, is a more stringent type of Kedusha, and therefore it's inappropriate to offer up on the Mizbeach Korbonis that belong to a day that has less Kedusha. That was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that Shabbos is more chomor than Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva argues and says, Loi shel Shabbos kraven b'yom HaKippurim, v'loi shel yom HaKippurim kraven b'Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva assumes that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are similar, they have the same level of Kedusha, of severity, even though the punishment for Chilul Shabbos is not the same as Chilul Yom Kippur. But in these terms, we look at them as being similar, and therefore you're not allowed to offer up the fats of the Shabbos korbonis on Yom Kippur, nor the Yom Kippur korbonis on Shabbos. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. The Pasuk says that you offer up the oila, the korban oila of Shabbos on its Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to say there's one thing, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbos, that you can offer up an oila of Shabbos on Shabbos, which would seem on a different Shabbos. B'Shabbatoi would seem to be on its Shabbos, meaning only on the same day. So it seems that we have a double, we can learn two things from this Pasuk. Let's see how this works. So the Braisa says, Ton Rabbonon Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatoi. So this is now Rabbi Shmuel talking. He says, Limeid al Chelvei Shabbos Shekrevim B'Yom Kippur. As we saw before, that one is allowed to take the fats of Shabbos, the korbanos of Shabbos, and offer them up on Yom Kippur. Oilas Shabbos, the Shabbos oilos, the korbanos of Shabbos, can be put on the Mizbeach b'Shabbos on another day that's also called Shabbos, namely Yom Kippur. Yochel Av shel Yom Kippur b'Shabbos. Can we say that this Pasuk is telling us you can also offer up the korbanos of Yom Kippur on Shabbos, even though Shabbos is a more stringent type of Kedusha? Talmud Leima b'Shabbatoi, only on its Shabbos. That means the Yom Kippur ones can only be brought on Yom Kippur, not on Motzi Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos. Obviously, if Motzi Yom Kippur is a weekday, then there's no problem with that. You can offer up the fats in the night. Like any korbanos, you can offer up the fats the following night. But if it's not a weekday, then only on its own day, on Shabbatoi, not on Shabbos Kodesh. Divi Rabbi Shmuel, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and that's what we saw. We saw in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, one is allowed to offer up the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur and not allowed to offer up the Yom Kippur korbanos on Shabbos. How's Rabbi Akiva learning this? Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. Rabbi Akiva is introducing a third case. Not Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur, not Yom Kippur korbanos on Shabbos. How about Shabbos korbanos on Yom Tov? What happens if Motzah Shabbos, Sunday is Yom Tov? Are you allowed to offer up the Shabbos korbanos, the fats of the Shabbos korbanos, on Motzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tov? Says Rabbi Akiva, and really it shouldn't be a problem, because Yom Tov is definitely of a lesser level than Shabbos. Everybody agrees with that. There's not going to be any argument. Rabbi Shmuel is going to agree with that. But Rabbi Akiva says, Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi, I'm using that for Limeid al Chelvei Shabbos shekrevim b'Yom Tov, that I'm allowed to offer up the Shabbos fats on Yom Tov. Yochel af b'Yom HaKippurim, what happens if Motzah Shabbos is not a regular Yom Tov, it's Yom Kippur? Can I offer up the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur? Rabbi Shmuel would say yes. But now in Rabbi Akiva says, Talmud Leima b'Shabbatoi, you can only offer it up on the day itself, and that's only on Shabbos and not on Yom Kippur. Kashatimta Leima ledivri Rabbi Shmuel. Says, let's work this out. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it goes as follows. There's another side machlokes. Is one allowed to offer up nedarim or nedavos, which are not korbanos that you have to bring on Yom Tov? It's korbanos that you have to bring because you promised to bring them. You have a requirement to bring those korbanos, but you can bring them before Yom Tov. You can bring them after Yom Tov. Are you allowed to bring these korbanos called nedarim and nedavos on Yom Tov? Rabbi Shmuel says yes, no problem. Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to. So the Gemara is now going to explain. Kashatim tzolima, L'divir Rabbi Shmuel, Nedorim and Nedovis craven b'yontav. One is allowed to offer up Nedorim and Nedovis on yontav. V'chi itzur kro l'yom ha-kippurim. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that I'm allowed to offer up Nedorim on Yom Tov, of course you're allowed to offer up the Korbonos of Shabbos on Yom Tov. If even Korbonos that you never had a Chiyuv to bring on when you brought them, you're allowed to bring them on Yom Tov, of course the Korbonos of Shabbos that you had to bring on Shabbos, there's no Nedorim Nedovis on Shabbos, that you're allowed to bring them on Yom Tov. We saw before that Rabbi Akiva says that to be able to be allowed to offer Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Tov, I need Shabbos b'Shabbatoy. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, he says you can even bring Nedorim and Nedovis on Yom Tov. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you can bring Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Tov. So what do I do with Shabbos b'Shabbatoy? Says Rabbi Shmuel, I'm using that for the Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Kippur. And that's Rabbi Shmuel who holds that one's allowed to offer Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Kippur. Redivi Rabbi Shmuel, Nedorim and Nedovis craving beyond Tov. V'chi itzrich kro, when I want the pasuk of Shabbos b'Shabbatoy, l'yom ha-kippurim, is to allow me to bring the Shabbos Korbonis on Yom Kippur. Redivi Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Nedorim and Nedovis ain't craving beyond Tov. You're not allowed to offer or bring Korbonis that are not time limited. You have to bring them on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bring them on Yom Tov. So if so, how do I know that you can bring Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Tov? V'chi itzrich kro, the pasuk of Shabbos b'Shabbatoy l'mishru b'Yom Tov, to say that the Shabbos Korbonos I can bring on Yom Tov. So now I don't have the pasuk of Shabbos b'Shabbatoy to tell me that I'm allowed to bring the Shabbos Korbonos on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abzeira, ki havino b'bovel, when I was in Bovel, now still there, Hava Omri, then they said as follows, Hodu Tanya, Yoima Kippurim Shechol Liyois Erev Shabbos Loi Hoyu Toikin, Ubamotza Shabbos Loi Hoyu Mavdilim. Divri HaKoilhi. It means when I was in Bovel, I assumed that this Brisa, and everybody agrees with it. What does it say in this Brisa? And we just have to introduce. There's a concept called toikin. They used to blow a shofar. They used to blow some sounds, and they used to blow it on Erev Shabbos in order that people should know Friday you're allowed to do melachos. We're heading towards Shabbos. You have to stop working, be mekabel Shabbos, and remember it's Shabbos. So there was typically, we'll soon see the details, they would blow the shofar every single Erev Shabbos. Now, what happens if the Erev Shabbos happens to be either Yom Tov or Yom Kippur? That's something we have to discuss. Are you allowed to blow the shofar on Yom Tov to say Shabbos is about to set on? Do you blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, the end of Yom Kippur, when it's just about to be Shabbos, to say it's Shabbos coming now? We have to discuss that. Did they blow the shofar on Erev Yom Tov to tell people Yom Tov is about to set in? And then what happens if Erev Yom Tov was Shabbos? Do you blow the shofar then to say that Yom Tov is coming in? What happens on, do you blow the shofar on Erev Yom Kippur to say Yom Kippur is about to start? And what happens if Erev Yom Kippur is Shabbos? Do you also blow the shofar then? That's what we have to discuss. There's another concept, and that's Havdalah. We know that whenever Motzah Shabbos, the end of Shabbos, starting a new week, we're going from Kodesh to Chol, from holy to regular weekdays, you have to make Havdalah. And Havdalah is done, the typical Havdalah that we know, and in the Tefillah, we say Amavdil bin Kodesh to Chol, we say Atochin Antonu, whatever the Nusach is going to be, there's a Chiyuv to make Havdalah. And the Havdalah is done on Motzah Shabbos. What happens if Motzah Shabbos, which is Sunday, is Yom Tov? Do you also make Havdalah? What happens if Motzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur? Do you make Havdalah? Do you make Havdalah on Motzah Yom Tov? Why not? It's Mikodesh Techoil. What happens if Motzah Yom Tov is Shabbos? Do you make Havdalah there? These are the things we're going to discuss in the coming Omad. So we had a Braisa. The Braisa said, Yoyim HaKippurim Shechol Yoyis Erev Shabbos, which means that it's Erev Shabbos, it's Friday, we should be blowing the shofar for the onset of Shabbos, but this Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur. Lo yoyu toikin. They did not blow the shofar on on Yom Kippur to tell us that Shabbos was coming in. Ubamotzah Shabbos. And on Motzah Shabbos, which was Yom Kippur, in the event that Motzah Shabbos was Yom Kippur, lo yoyum avdilin, because havdolah you make from Kodesh to Chol. If Motzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur, it's from Kodesh to Kodesh. You don't make havdolah there. It's the same type of Kedusha. If it would be a much lesser type of Kedusha, for example, we're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and Yom Tov is a much lesser Kedusha than Shabbos, then making havdolah on Motzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, everybody says you make havdolah. You say, Hamavdil bin Kodesh l'Kodesh, but you have to make havdolah. But going from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, that's not going from a big Kedusha to a small Kedusha, and therefore, everybody agrees you do not make havdolah. Regarding the shofar, the rule is that one only blows the shofar when one is going from a yom kal, Rashi says, to a yom chomor, from a lesser kedusha, from a lesser stringent day, to a more chomor. And since Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the same, therefore, if Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur, then between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, the end of Yom Kippur, just before Shabbos sets in, they did not blow the shofar, because we're not going from a Yom Kal to a Yom Chomor. That's what the Gemara says, that's what Reb Zeira said, that's what I assumed, that this was not a discussion. Everybody agrees with it. Divrei HaKohel hi, ki salikno lehosam, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechei liYehuda b'reidu Reb Shimon ben Pazi, I met Yehuda, the son of Shimon ben Pazi, the Yosef, you were sitting, Uka Omar, he said as follows, Reb Akiva hi, that this braisa we just learned is only true according to Reb Akiva, that puts Shabbos and Yom Kippur on the same level of Kedusha. And therefore, going from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, there's no Avdolah. Going from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, there's no Shofar. Dear Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says that Shabbos is more Chomor than Yom Kippur. Kiven de Omar Chelve Shabbos Kraven B'yom HaKippurim. You're allowed to offer up the fats of Shabbos Korbonis on Motzah Shabbos, even though it's Yom Kippur. And according to him, Yom Kippur is considered of less Kedusha, or less Chomor, less stringent than Shabbos. If so, Litoka. Going from Yom Kippur on Erev Shabbos into Shabbos is like going from a Yom Kel to a Yom Chomor. You should blow the shofar. Ki Heicha de Lehave Yadi, the Chelvei Shabbos craving b'yom HaKippurim. And this is an interesting line that the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the truth is that why do you blow the shofar? Just to tell me that you make sure not to do any melachos. Over here, that it's true that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Shabbos is more chomor than Yom Kippur. But from going from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, so you don't need to tell me that I have to stop doing melachos that I was doing on Erev Shabbos and be mekabel Shabbos, because Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur. I'm not doing any melachos anyway. So I don't need the shofar to tell me to stop doing melachos. I don't need the shofar to tell me that since it's Yom Kippur going into Shabbos and you're not allowed to bring makriv, you're not allowed to offer up the fats of the Yom Kippur korbonis, the Erev Shabbos korbonis on Shabbos, which everybody agrees with that, I don't need to blow the shofar to tell me that. Because if we don't blow the shofar, we'll assume that the two kedushos are similar. And if the two kedushos are similar, which is what Rabbi Akiva holds, it's also osa to offer up the Yom Kippur fats on Shabbos. So what would I need the shofar for? I would need the shofar that I should know that this year, that year, which Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur, I'm blowing the shofar because I'm going from a kal to a chomor. Just to be aware that Yom Kippur is more kal than Shabbos, and the difference will be that another year, where Yom Kippur is going to be after Shabbos, I'll remember this shofar, and I'll remember that I'm allowed to offer up the Shabbos korbonis on Motzah Shabbos, on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says. That according to Rabbi Shmuel, kiven do amachel v'Shabbos kreivim b'yom HaKippurim. Since I'm allowed to offer up the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur, the year we're talking about here is that Yom Kippur is on Erev Shabbos, but I should blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos so that I'll know that Yom Kippur is more kal, so that in a year that Yom Kippur is after Shabbos, I'll know that I can offer the Shabbos korbanos, the fats of the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur. Litoka, I should blow the shofar. Kehecha de lahave yodi, I should know the chelve Shabbos craving b'yom Kippurim in a different year. So that is what Reb Zeira says that he heard from Yehuda the son of Shimon ben Pazi. V'amina le'ano, Reb Zeira says that I've going to respond to him as follows. Koyanim zrizim him. That if the only reason that you would blow the shofar on Yom Kippur going into Shabbos is in order to, in the year that it's appropriate, in the year that Yom Kippur is after Shabbos, that you should know that you can offer up the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur, and obviously for this year, that year that Yom Kippur is before Shabbos, you're not allowed to offer up because Shabbos, Yom Kippur is more kal than Shabbos, otherwise you wouldn't be blowing the shofar. And Yom Kippur into Shabbos, you're not allowed to offer up the Yom Kippur korban, the fats of the Yom Kippur korbanos on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, I don't need the shofar for any of this. Why? Kehanim zrizim hein. Kehanim are very conscientious and aware of all the halachas. We do not need to give them any reminders. Normally, why do we blow the shofar? We blow the shofar for everybody else, all the people in Yerushalayim, anyone who's going to hear the shofar, regular people, tell them, just a minute, you were doing melachos till Shabbos, stop doing melachos now. But here, Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur. No one's doing melachos. I'm only blowing the shofar in order that I should know when I can bring the Yom Kippur fats on Shabbos and the Shabbos fats on Yom Kippur, if at all. For that, I do not, if the reminders are just for the Kohanim doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, I do not need the reminder. Kohanim zrizim him. Omar leimar mar kashisha b'reid Rav Chisda l'Ravashi. Mar kashisha said to Ravashi, mi omrinon kohanim zrizim him. This concept, you take it for granted that Kohanim are zrizim. Is that so? V'otnan, it seems to contradict the Mishnah. We learnt in the Mishnah that there are six tekiyos on Erev Shabbos. Sholosh lehavtil esa'om. Three of them is in order that people should stop, separate the om mimalocha, they should stop doing malochas. Sholosh, the next three, when the next three sounds are sounded, lehavdil ben kodesh lechol, people should be mekabel Shabbos, it's now Shabbos. So, and where did they used to blow that? In the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that you did have to tell Kohanim and remind them what they were allowed to do and what they were not allowed to do, and we don't say Kohanim zrizim him, says the Gemara, no. We do say Kohanim zrizim him. You want to know why in the Beis HaMikdash they sounded the shofar six times? Kada Omar Abaya, Lashar Amod de Birushalayim. Abaya was talking about something very different. Abaya was talking about this chandelier that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, and through the position of this chandelier, the people could tell exactly what time was the right time to say Shema. And the question was that the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they did not say Shema at that time for different reasons which we're not discussing now. They did not say the Shema. So the question is, why did they need this chandelier in the Beis HaMikdash? Who was it serving? Who was it telling about the Zman of Kriyas Shema? Said Abaya, you're right, the Kohanim don't need it. Lashar Amod Yibri Yerushalayim. But all those regular people in the close vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash, around the Beis HaMikdash, they had to know when the right time to say Kriya Shema was. So to Hochanami here, in the case of the blowing of the shofar on Erev Shabbos, Lashar Amad Yibi Yerushalayim, the shofar was sounded even in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was there in order to teach the laymen, the other people, not the Kohanim, what they were allowed to do and not allowed to do. But the Kohanim themselves did not need it. And since these tekiyos that we discuss in here, when Shabbos is on Motzi Yom Kippur, then since all the people in Yerushalayim, as in the whole world, all of Klal Yisrael, are not doing melachos on Yom Kippur, there's no necessity to blow the shofar. Asks the Gemara, in this case that we just mentioned now, that Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur. So you're saying now, we don't blow the shofar. That's what we said, Yom Kippur Shechol Yeis Erev Shabbos, Loi Hayu Toikin. And first we thought, Loi Hayu Toikin, we thought it's only going according to Rabbi Akiva. But now we said, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, they didn't use to blow. Asks the Gemara, there is reason to blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. V'litka kihecha deliyadi deshori b'knivas yerek min amincha ulemayla. So there's another halacha, and that's called Knivas Yerek. Knivas Yerek means the the shelling, the peeling of the cutting, the trimming of vegetables. They used to trim vegetables as part of the process of preparing the vegetables to be cooked. It says, on Yom Kippur, there's a special halacha, even though you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos or from Yom Kippur to Chol for the weekday, you're not allowed to start preparing your Mlav Malka on Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare your meal for Motzi Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. However, there's a chiddush, and that's called the chiddush of Nekivas Yerek. Since it says in the Posuk that on Yom Kippur, there's got to be Agmas Nefesh, you've got to intensify as much as possible the infliction of the Nefesh, of the spirit, on Yom Kippur. How do you do that? When it comes towards the end of Yom Kippur, Mincha time, when everyone starts getting hungry, at that point, start preparing the food, not in order that you should have the food ready on Matzah Shabbos, on Matzah Yom Kippur. Just prepare the food just in order that it should be even more difficult for you to fast. You're preparing the food, you can't even eat it. So there's a chiddush that towards the end of Yom Kippur, you're allowed to prepare the vegetables by trimming them and cutting them and preparing them for the meal, and do that as part of the fasting process, part of the inui, part of the infliction that Yom Kippur is supposed to inflict on us. So how do I know when on Yom Kippur I'm allowed to do that? I'll have to sound the shofar and tell people from this point now, from Mincha time, when you hear the shofar, you can start preparing the vegetables. Before that, you're not allowed to. Before that, you're not so hungry. And therefore, preparing the vegetables is not going to add to the infliction. And therefore, it's just plain preparing for after Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do that. So says the Gemara Vulitoka, why don't we say you should blow the shofar ki hecha deleida de shori beknivas yerek mina mincho lemailo, that people should know that from this time, from the time of mincha and beyond, you're allowed to trim the vegetables. So Rav Yosef says something very interesting. He says, Rav Yosef says, Omer Rav Yosef lefi she'ein doichin shvus lehatir. Blowing a shofar on Shabbos or Yom Kippur is a shvus. Isn't a rabbonon called shvus? Shvus means rest. Even though it's not a melacha, it's not one of the 39 melachas, but it's midrabbonon, pashtus is midrabbonon, it's called a shvus. There's a requirement to rest, and part of the things the Chachomim said, rest from blowing from any instruments. You're not allowed to play an instrument on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. So if you want to blow this, you want to blow the shofar, you have to have a good reason for it. If the whole reason is in order to allow you to do something, not to stop you from doing something, not to stop you from doing a melacha, or if there's a particular chiyuv that you have to do straight after nachto, then Tosfos discusses that might be different. But if it's just in order to tell you you're allowed to do something, for that we're not going to break this shvus, you're not allowed to sound the shofar. So Rav Yosef says that I'm not going to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, even though I don't need it to tell me to stop doing melachas for Shabbos, but I need it to say that you're allowed to cut the vegetables. If all it's doing is to tell me I'm allowed to trim the vegetables, we're not blowing the shofar for that. Rav Shisha says something very interesting. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, he makes an interesting calculation. Let's remember, we're talking here about Yom Kippur, that's Erev Shabbos. So are you going to prepare your food this year on Yom Kippur? Are you going to trim these vegetables and cut these vegetables? No, because you can't eat the vegetables raw. What are you going to do? Normally, you prepare them on Yom Kippur, you cook them on Motzi Yom Kippur. Motzi Yom Kippur is Shabbos, you can't cook on Shabbos. So for this year that we're talking about, blowing the shofar now, all it says is, this is the time of the day of Yom Kippur, that in a different year, you'd be allowed to cut the vegetables. Says Rav Shisha, Rav Shisha, Breder of Idi Omar, Shvus Kroiva Hitiru. To break the Shvus, even if it's Lehetera, we would do. But only if it's now, if it has some ramification now. But Shvus Rechoikov, it's only going to make a difference. And a year from now, Lo Yitiru. For that, they're not going to break the Shvus. Or Shvus Kroiva Hitiru. According to Rav Shisha, even if it's a Shvus Lehetera, if it's Kroiva, if it's not in a year from now, they will allow you to break the shvus. Asks the Gemara, this seems to contradict the Mishnah of Otnan. Yom Tov Shechol Yis Erev Shabbos. What happens if Yom Tov is on that Friday? Toikin, you're allowed to blow the shofar because on Yom Tov you're allowed to do some melachos. You blow the shofar to make sure that Shabbos is setting on now. Don't do melachos on Shabbos. V'loy mavdilin, you don't do havdalah because Yom Tov is less of a kedusha than Shabbos. Therefore, there's no havdalah. Moitza Shabbos. What happens if Yom Tov is on Motza Shabbos? So you're going from Shabbos into Yom Tov. Mavdilin. Of course, you make havdalah because Yom Tov is less of kedusha than Shabbos. So you make havdalah and you say lehavdil bin kodesh lekodesh. V'loy toiken. And you do not blow the shofar, because you only ever blow the shofar when you go from a Yom Kal, from a lighter day, into a more stringent day. Here you're going from Shabbos into Yom Tov. From Shabbos into Yom Tov, you're not going into a more stringent day, more chomor, more holy day, you're going into a less chomor, therefore you don't blow. So according to the Mishnah, we do not blow the shofar on Shabbos going into Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, if you, Rav Shisha, are right, that providing that it's right now, it's not just for another year, we do blow the shofar, we break the shvus, even if it's just in order to tell you something is mutter, then I've got a question on that Mishnah. Va'amai, why do you say you don't blow? Litoka, you should blow at the end of Shabbos, ki heicha deleida, the shari b'shchita le'alta, in order to tell everyone that on Shabbos it was also to shecht, now it's Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht. And since we break the shvus, and we blow just in order to tell me something's mutter, so according to Rav Shisha, why does the Mishnah say we don't blow the shofar? Elo mechavarto k'Rav Yosef, it must be that the real reason that you don't blow at the end of Yom Kippur going into Shabbos is not because of what Rav Shisha said, it's because of what Rav Yosef says, that ein doichin shvus lahatir, since the only reason we would have to blow on Yom Kippur is to tell me that you can prepare the Knivas Yerek, which is something which you're allowed to do, and according to Rav Yosef, we do never break a Shvus if it's just in order to tell us that you're allowed to do something. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Zeira, Omar Rav Huna. V'omri lo Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Huna. It was said in the name of Rav Huna. Yoyim HaKippurim Shechol Liyos B'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur was on Shabbos, also B'Knivas Yerek, even though on Yom Kippur itself, because of the din of Inui, that there's a requirement to inflict extra pain and challenge with the fast on Yom Kippur, therefore you're allowed to start cutting the vegetables. That's all fine and good if it's just Yom Kippur. But if it's also Shabbos, on the same day as Shabbos, you're not allowed to start cutting the vegetables because you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos for the week, for the weekday, for Matzah Shabbos. Omar of Mona says, of Mona Tona, we learnt something to similar effect. Minayin liyoyim haKippurim shechol liyos b'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, she'osa b'knivas yerek, you're not allowed to cut the vegetables. Talmud Lema, it says in the Pasuk, Shabbosoin. The Pasuk calls Shabbos Shabbosoin to tell us, shvois, rest. Don't do melochis that the Chachomim said you shouldn't do, even though they're not considered melochis in Hilchus, in the Lamates melochis. That's what we learnt in a Braisa. Asks the Gemara Lamai, why do I need this pasuk of Shabbosin to say that you're not allowed to cut the vegetables? Are these vegetables still attached to the ground? I don't need a pasuk for that, because that would be a melocha of koitzer, of detaching from the ground. It's one of the lamates melochis, voksiv lo isasikol melocha. It's included in the pasuk of don't do any melocha. Elolav, it must be talking about a knivas Yerek. It must be talking about that the vegetable has already been detached, and now I'm just trimming the vegetable, and I've got a pasuk to say, shvois. You're not allowed to cut vegetables on Shabbos. So I've got a shema minah, I've got an explicit braisa that says that if it's on Shabbos, you're never allowed to cut these vegetables, even on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chia bar Abba, Omer of Yechanon. Yoyim HaKippurim Shechol Liyos B'Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, Rabbi Yechanan argues with what we just saw. He says, Mutter b'knivas yerek. You're allowed to trim these vegetables on Yom Kippur, even though it's on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara Meisvei. We're now going to ask from the same Braisa a question. Minayin liyoyim haKippurim shechol yeis b'Shabbos, you're also b'knivas yerek. The Braisa we just saw before says, how do you know that you're not allowed to trim the vegetables on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos? Talmud Leima Shabbosin, because there's a special pasuk that says Shabbosin. Shabbosin says, shvois, make sure you rest, even if it's not one of the Lamates Melachas. And that's what the Gemara says, Lemai, why do I need Shabbosin? If Knivas Yerek isn't real Melocha because it's attached to the ground still, it's a proper Melocha of Keitzer. I don't need to, of Toilish Keitzer, I don't need to have Shabbosin for that. Elolav b'knivas yerek. It must be talking about that the vegetable's already been detached from before Shabbos, before Yom Kippur, and all I'm doing is trimming it. So you see in the Braisa, there's a special posuk Shabbosin, which says shvois, rest from doing, from peeling these vegetables, from preparing the vegetables. If so, how can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that on even though it's Shabbos, you're allowed to do these vegetables? It's true that it's Yom Kippur, but it's Shabbos, and there's a posuk by Shabbos that says shvois, rest from doing this. Says the Gemara, no. La'oy lom l'malacha. The Braisa is talking about, is only talking about, when is it Asa? It's talking about when it's still attached to the ground. And then you have a malacha of Kaitzer. It's one of the Lamates malachas. And then it's Asa. Of course it's Asa. Yom Kippur, Shabbos, it's Asa. You're not allowed to do it with Toilish on Shabbos. Kaitzer. So why do I need, but the Braisa asked a good question. Why do I need the Pasuk for that? Why do I need a posuk of Shabbosin if it's one of the Lamates Melochis? I need Shabbosin to say that when it's still attached to the ground, not only is it a lav of Loisase kol Melocha, it's also an assay of Shabbosin, of not resting. And Shabbosin applies then. But in the event that it's not attached to the ground anymore, then you are allowed to trim these vegetables on Yom Kippur, even if it's Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan, there's a braisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan that says that one is allowed to trim vegetables on Yom Kippur, the end of Yom Kippur, even if it's on Shabbos. Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yeis B'Shabbos Mutar B'Knivas Yerek. That the braisa says that one is allowed to do Knivas Yerek even on Yom Kippur that's on Shabbos. V'Omer B'Chiyah Bar Abba Om Rabbi Yochanan Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yeis B'Chol regular Yom Kippur. Mefatzim begoizim, one's allowed to crack nuts, umeparkasim berimoinim, and one's allowed to break open pomegranates, mina mincha lemaila, from the end of mincha, as we saw before in the same bracket as knivas ayerek, trimming the vegetables. Why? Nipnei agmas nefesh, because the pasuk says, v'inisim esnafshei seichem, you're supposed to intensify the infliction, and the way you intensify it is at the end of the day, when you're getting hungry, start engaging in food, and not being able to eat it, that really intensifies the infliction. The Beir Reb Yehuda, in the home of Reb Yehuda, Mekanvei, they would peel, they would trim krova, the cabbage. The Beir Rabba, in the home of Rabba, Gordi, they would scrape kori, the pumpkins, at the end of Yom Kippur, from Mincha, just in order to inflict extra pain, extra challenge in the fast. Kiven dechoza dehavakom mecharfi, when Reb Yehuda saw that they were starting to do these melochas even earlier than mina mincha lemaila. They're not melochas. They were doing these things, these preparations, even before the mincha time. And then when you do that, you don't have the added infliction because you're not so hungry yet. So all you're doing is preparing for after Yom Kippur, and that's Asa. So Omar Luhu, so he said to his family members, Asa igarato mimarova, a letter came from Eretz Yisrael, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Asir that said there was Asa. And there's a big discussion, did such a letter actually arrive? Did he just say that, tell his family members in order to impress on them that they should stop doing what they were doing? He just told them there was such a letter. It's something discussed in the Mefarashim, but that's what he did. He told them from then on, it was Asa. And as for those who are following in the Gemara, the Vilna Gaon's got Girasois, the Rambam's got Girasois. Nowadays, we do not do these melachas, and either because of the Girasois, we don't hold of Rabbi Yochanan, we never did, or that we did hold of Rabbi Yochanan, but because over here the Gemara at the end says that because there was a risk of them doing it too early, it became Asa afterwards. Either way, Halacha Lemaisa, we don't follow this, and Hadron Aloch Ve'elu Ksharim, Baruch Hashem, B'siyat Tishmai, we finished Perek Ve'elu Ksharim, and B'siyat Tishmai, in the next year we're going to start Perek Kol Kisvei.